Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, precious saints of God, and welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. We started a new series yesterday, and the series has to do with Jesus having to go to Samaria. He's got a very important appointment. So we're going to continue to study John chapter 4. We're going to read today. We're going to expand our lesson. Yesterday we stopped at verse 4. We're going to expand it to verse 14. But before we do, I want to introduce the song. You know it very well. It's been sung by many, many, many different gospel singers. The song is called "He Touched Me." And I'm hoping and I'm praying that this series, you know, you're saying, Pastor, you were on last night at 8 p.m. doing part one, and now early this morning you're back on to do part two. What's going on? And I got to tell you, this series, this teaching is just bubbling up inside me. I'm so excited to get it out. Because there are many people listening to the sound of my voice who need for Jesus to touch them. When Jesus touches you, your life will forever be turned around. So, the song, "He Touched Me." Now, consider those words. You, I, shackled by a heavy burden. Underneath the load of pain and shame. Is that you today? I want to introduce you to Jesus. I want to introduce you to the one person, the only person, who can take it all away. Back in December 31st, 1975, I was a 16-year-old back in 1975, December 31st. I was searching. I was looking. I was hurting on the inside. I was confused. I lacked direction. And my grandmother said, "Come with me to church today. Come. We're gonna end the year in God's house and start the year in God's house." The service started at 10 p.m. And we were to be there for a little over 2 hours. We were going to say goodbye to 1975, and we were going to say hello to 1976. 10 p.m. service, the new year, in the Lord's house. I said, what the heck? What do I have to lose? So I went, hurting, confused, no direction, feeling sorry for myself, going nowhere fast. I went to that service, and Jesus touched me. I'm 64 now, and I can tell you, since that day, I have never, ever, ever been the same. He flooded my soul with joy, peace, love, goodness, mercy, grace. I have no regrets. Again, he touched me. Are you filled with burdens today? Are you overwhelmed with life today? Are you at the crossroads of your life? Let Jesus touch you.
Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me.
Praise the name of the Lord. He touched me. We're going to read John chapter 4, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. We'll stop there. I'll make a comment. And then we shall proceed to read John chapter 4, 5 through 14. Thus beginneth the reading of God's holy, precious, and magnificent word.
Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples. He left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria.
We talked about these four verses yesterday, and by way of review, the Bible tells us that Jesus' ministry of teaching and touching people's hearts was in full swing. We read that so many people were being impacted by the ministry of Jesus that he enlisted his own disciples, which were 12, to help him with the multitude that needed to be discipled. Now, Jesus being God in the flesh, God incarnate, knew that there was a need in Samaria. And this is why verse 4 says, he must needs go through Samaria. What the text is telling us is Jesus sensed that someone in Samaria had a broken heart, and he needed to go there to touch that person. That person happened to be a woman, the woman at the well, the woman of Samaria. Now, you go to Walmart. When you go to Walmart, you just don't go to Walmart to go to Walmart. You go to Walmart to purchase items, like, let's say, pancake syrup and pancake mix, or you need to purchase frozen juices, frozen waffles, frozen pizzas, whatever it is. You go to Walmart to meet a need. You go to the dentist. You just don't show up at your dentist's office with no appointment just to shoot the breeze, not to say, hello, doctor, how are you doing today? No one shows up at the dentist's office to just talk. You go to meet a need. No one takes their car to the mechanic just to say, I just came to do a drive-by. No, you take your car to the mechanic because it needs fixing. There is a need. The text is telling us that Jesus went to Samaria. He was purposeful in going to Samaria because there was a person in need. And Jesus is doing the rounds today, I'm telling you. Wherever you are, You may be in some far corner of the earth listening to me on internet radio. You may be in Michigan. You may be down there in Florida. You may be in Texas. You may be in Hawaii. Wherever you are, down in Hell's Kitchen in New York City, wherever you are, Jesus can make the rounds. If you are in need, he will stop by you and touch your heart today. Only Jesus can do that. No preacher. First of all, no preacher could be at all places at one time. It's impossible. I am not omnipresent. I can't do that. Jesus can. And I'm not omnipotent. I cannot, with a touch of my hand, remove every scar, every hurt, every pain, every sickness you may have. But I know someone who can. His name is Jesus. He's omnipotent. He can tackle any problem you have. He can tackle all your problems, no matter how vast they may be. If you have a need, Jesus needs to go by you. That is what the text is saying, and that's what the text is offering you today. So let's continue reading, starting at verse 5 of chapter 4 of John, And we're going to read all the way down to verse number 14. And let's see what Jesus has in store for us today.
So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her,
"Give me a drink."
For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him,
"How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?"
For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.
"If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
Now, of course, Jesus is thirsty. So he says to the woman, "Please, you're drawing water from the well. Can you give me some water to drink?" And she says, "Well, you know, we Jews and you Jews and we Samaritans, there's an ethnic battle going on. There's a racial divide going on. We don't talk to each other. We're technically at war with each other." And again, Jesus bypasses that. That's not important to him. What's important to him is not some racial war, some ethnic battle going on. Jesus is interested in the woman's need. Jesus has a need. He needs a cup of water. She has a need. She needs living water. He needs natural water. She needs living water. She's in need of eternal life. She's in need of a touch of Jesus. She doesn't even realize it. Let's proceed.
"Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?"
"Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life."
The water that he's offering her is the waters of revival. What is revival? God giving eternal life to you and I. That's revival. We are dead. The Bible says we are dead, spiritually dead, in trespasses and sins. We're a mess. Without God, we're lost. Without God, we sit in darkness. Without God, we're bankrupt, spiritually bankrupt. And Jesus says to her, "I have this living water. I can give you the drink of this water, and you'll never be the same. You'll be changed forever. You shall have eternal life." And eternal life starts now, starts today. As it started for me back in December 31st, 1975, that's when eternal life began, when Jesus offered me the living water. And I said, "Yes, Lord, I shall drink of it." And I have never, ever, ever thirsted spiritually again. Ever. This is the offer that Jesus makes to all of us. He is passing by. Jesus is making the rounds today, asking, who wants living water? Who wants to be impacted for life? Who wants a complete, miraculous turnaround? "I can provide it," Jesus says. He can. He touched me. He touched the woman at the well. She was flooded. He flooded her soul. Notice the language of the hymn. And he flooded her soul with what? With joy. How many souls are depleted, are empty of joy? Oh, if you let Jesus touch you today, if you let him give you that living water, he will flood your soul with everything good, with everything that you need, that everything that will satisfy and quench that thirst that you've had all your life. We're going to leave it there. We're going to come back tomorrow. We'll do part three tomorrow. Again, I have a song for you. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. The song is entitled, Give It All to Jesus. Listen, all your pain, all your hurts, all your sorrows, your broken heart. You know, Jesus said, he said, let's do a trade. You give me water, and I'll give you water. So with this song, Jesus is asking you for a trade. Give him your life. Give him your broken pieces. Give him your mess. And he will give you eternal life. Give it all to Jesus.
Of it.